There are totally four chapters in the book of Ruth, and we would like to study the four chapters in 3 hours. Let's refer to the book of Ruth. Ruth is the book after the Judges. During the time of self-study, priests spend more time to preview the books we are going to study in this week. The four Gospels and the book of Genesis. Actually, the book of Ruth is a very famous book, even among the Gentile, the non-believer. This book has been considered a very outstanding literature of books in the world, because a beautiful story between the Ruth and Naomi. The story touched a lot of people's heart and edified a lot of people. And we are going to study what that means to us today. The book of Ruth mentioned 23 times of the words redemption, redeemed, redemption. So actually the book of Ruth is a book try to use a story to typify it, how Jesus redeemed us, just like Ruth has been redeemed by Boaz. So there are spiritual teaching inside, but also there are some kind of spiritual prophecy inside, prefiguration inside. So when we study the book, on the one hand, we have to look into the spiritual teaching. On the other hand, we have to think about how does it try to tell us in spiritual prefiguration. And in the book of chapter 1, I would like to mention the decision making of three persons. And why they make this decision, and what is the consequences of the decision. As a youth, you are facing major decision in the next decades. For example, which school am I going to study? This is a major decision, because the school you study, the major you choose, will affect the whole life, the direction, the content of your whole life. And the next, after you finish your study, then what kind of job am I going to take? And where am I going to live? This is a major decision, because that will affect your future life. And after you make a decision, or before you make the decision of hunting for a job, maybe you already consider looking for a spouse, a mate. Which one am I going to get married? So all these are major decisions. You cannot make a mistake, especially the spouse you are going to get married, or the major you are going to study, because you have to bear the consequences for a long period of time. So when you look into the book of Ruth, chapter 1, you look into three persons. How, why they make this decision? And after they make this decision, what is the consequences? So the wise person always use the consequences as a factor to decide, to make a decision. A foolish person make a decision without thinking about the consequences. So you make decision because of your own feeling. I feel like it, so I decide it. I feel like it, so I do it. I feel don't like it, so I don't do it. If you make a decision based on the feeling, sooner or later you will regret. Why? In the Bible there are ample of examples. the decision made because of feeling, and then most of them end up in regret. Oh. One of the very famous story is Isaac in Esau, right? Oh. At that time, one of them was hunting and was very hungry. Oh. So he felt hungry. Oh. And Isaac was cooking, Isaac was cooking, right? The soup. Jacob was cooking the soup. And later on, because of the feeding, make the decision based on the feeding. So you can see the whole life, suffer a lot. So in the book of Galatians, tell us, let's turn to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians. Chapter 6, verse 7. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Verse 7 is a warning to every one of us. Do not be deceived. What does that mean, being deceived? Being deceived means you think any decision you make, you don't have to bear the consequence. That means you are deceived. Deceived means what? Any decision you make, the end can be changed. The consequences can be ended. Then you are deceived. So God is not mocked. What does that mean, God is not mocked? God is the one who enforces the law. God is the one who executes the law. What is the law? Means a man sows, he will also reap. So we are reaping the consequence of what we have been sowing. So today, maybe you suffer. And you think about, today if you are suffering, maybe you already saw the seed of suffering maybe 5 years ago or 10 years ago, and today you bear the consequence. Today, maybe you live a very happy life, a perfect life. And you think about, why today your life is perfect, is happy, is joyful. Now, you think about, maybe you make a lot of different decisions and you sow the seed, and right now you harvest what you have been sowing in the past years. So right now you are making a decision, and maybe few years later, few months later, few weeks later, you are going to bear either good or bad consequences. So in the time of you are facing some major decision, studying the book of Ruth will help you how to make a decision, especially when as a Christian we are not trying to live our life through trial and error. A lot of people in the world, they try to live a life through the trial and error. You try this lifestyle and you experience something and you correct. You try to turn left and you experience something bad and you try to correct yourself. You trial and you experience error and you suffer and you correct yourself. We can have a shortcut. All the spiritual experience mentioned in the Bible provide us a vivid example. If you follow their principle of making decision, then you get a shortcut. You don't have to suffer what they suffer, because their life is an example how God guide them, how God bless them, or how they suffer because of their own decision. So Ruth chapter 1, we are talking about the decision made by the first person. Who was the first person who made a major decision? The couple. Naomi. Who was the husband of Naomi? Chapter 1, verse 2. Who was the husband of Naomi? Elimelech. Verse 1. We'll start from the verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. Verse 2. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of the wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraims from Bethlehem in Judah. Okay. Here we're talking about this whole family moved from Bethlehem to the land of Moab. This is a major decision. Why this is a major decision? Can anyone tell what is the spiritual teaching moving from Bethlehem to Moab? What is the spiritual teaching spiritually means? Spiritually, what does that mean, moving from Bethlehem to Moab? Gangxiong, can you try? Okay. Bethlehem typify what? Birthplace of Jesus. Okay. Any other spiritual meaning of Bethlehem? The barn of what? Yangshi Zicang. Full of food. Bethlehem was abundant about the harvest, about the grain, crops. Okay. How about the land of Moab? Spiritually, when you think about the land of Moab, what can you recall? The land of Moab, what can you recall about the land of Moab? When the Israel travel in the wilderness, they almost reach to the border of the Canaan. Almost reach to the border of Canaan. And that time, the young girl of the Moab tribe tried to entice the Israelite, the young men. And then they commit fornication. And then God was really angry with them. So you still can remember there was a young man, right? He witnessed a young man and young woman committing fornication, and then he used a spear to pierce both of them in the right moment of committing sin. And God was really pleased with what the young person do, and then all the disease, disaster sent from heaven finished. So the land of Moab spiritually typify sinful land, a land full of sin. So the chosen people, it is the will of God for the chosen people to dwell in the land designated by God himself, the land God prepared for them to dwell. And so to move from the land of Bethlehem to the land of Moab, this is a major decision. But if this is the right decision, is it a right decision or a wrong decision? It is a right decision or it is a wrong decision? Or you don't know? I don't want to all the time use a lecture, because you listen after you, the class finish, you don't know what we are talking about. Try to use your brain to think about, if this is a right decision or this is a wrong decision, why? Oh, you have no voice, okay. About Phoebe? Why? Before we make a judgment on whether this is right or wrong, let us think about, huh? Why did they make this decision? Why did they make the decision? Because of famine, right? The in Bethlehem, there was a famine, but maybe there was they were told that in the land of Moab, there was abundant food. So in order to solve the problem in that right moment, so the whole family, especially this couple, they make a decision. Let us move to Moab. As soon as we arrive Moab, no problem, because a lot of food. So in order to solve the problem, so they make a decision without the regard of whether this is the will of God. So let me think about that. Don't think that the Book of Ruth is 1,000 years ago's literature book. It's applied to us these days. Don't you think that a lot of times, in order to solve our problem, we make a decision without considering what is God's will? Don't you think about it? We have done a lot of this kind of decision. Yes, we do. Can you recall in the Bible there are two other spiritual figures, they're facing the some kind of difficulty of famine, but they made a different decision, and they encounter a different consequence. Who can give an example? Actually, these two personnel are father and son. They are facing the same difficulties, and then they make a different decision and they have a different result. Huh? Who are they? Jacob and what? Joseph? Jacob and Joseph? Okay. I would like to solicit the other answer. Any other? Isaac and Jacob, Abraham and Isaac, right? Yes. God promised Abraham, I'm going to give you a piece of land full of honey and milk, right? And then later on, Abraham moved to that piece of land, and then he encountered famine. Right? At that time, the livelihood of Abraham became a tremendous pressure to him. You see, he has a wife, right? He has servants, he has children, so every day's livelihood is a pressure. So in order to solve the pressure, he had to think about a way to get rid of the pressure. So what did he choose? He chose to move the whole family to Egypt. Actually, the land of Egypt, it was not supposed they are not supposed to consider about this means to solve the problem. But they make the decision. Okay. And then, later on, his son facing the same situation, famine. And what does his son decide? Then, what did his son decide? Isaac, what did Isaac decide? Yeah. While he was pondering, let me follow my father's footstep, right? And then what? God revealed to him, don't move. I'm going to bless you. And then what? Isaac decided to stay there still. Oh, don't move. But he decided not to move. You know, every day's life is a pressure. Because what? Their food become what? Less and less. So they become a pressure. But he firmly believed God's words. So next year, what happened? After famine over, they harvest 100 times. 100 times, oh? They harvest 100 times. So Abraham and Isaac, they are two generations living in the same piece of land, facing different difficulty, make different decisions, and then they have different experience about God's guidance and blessing. Abraham moved to Egypt, and later on, he almost lost his wife, because his wife was very beautiful. So he feared that Pharaoh may kill him in order to occupy his wife. So he denied his wife. He said, this is the sisters. And later on, even though he gained a lot of material gains, and this material will be caused the division between Abraham and his nephew Lot. So today, let us think about what do that means to us. What do that means to us? After you graduate, you are going to facing a major decision. For example, very practical issue. I am going to looking for a job, right? Now, if somebody offer me a job in Utah, do you like Utah? Somebody say, well, I can adjust myself to any part in the United States. Okay, Utah, I don't care. But do you know, Utah, there's no church. There's no church. So if you move to Utah, for example, you move to Utah, you have only two choices. The first choice is what? Try work hard to preach the gospel to establish a church there. Just like a member in Phoenix Church. Originally, there are two families in Phoenix Church. I still can recall in the spiritual convocation in Southern California, they all the way drive to eastwards about 6 or 7 hours to attend the spiritual convocation in Garden Grove. And we encourage them, please move here. And they don't want to move to Garden Grove because they are ambitious. And later on, their ambition was blessed by God. They established a church there. But you look into the brother and sister in the United States, some of them choose to take a good job, high income, very high self-fulfillment, feeling. And they have no ambition to build up a prayer house or church where they live. And later on, their faith declined a lot. Their children don't know how to pray. Their children don't know how to speak the words of God. Their children have no faith. So when you are facing the major decision of looking for a job, you need to think about the consequences first. When you think about the consequences, we are not talking about how much money you are going to make. We are talking about the spiritual consequences. If you live here forever, what will affect your children, yourself? And this is only one of example. The other example you can think about is in the future after you get married. Are you going to make decision based on you feel good? I feel like her. I feel like him. Regardless of what his religious belief, regardless of what his faith is, because I like him, I like her, so I just want to marry him or marry her, regardless of my objection of my parents. If you make decision based on the feeling, and don't think about what is the will of God, don't think about walking in the king's way, just like the hymn we sing. One day, when your love gradually fades away, you can feel the reality of marriage. At that time, you have the friction every day. You regret all your life. If you want to divorce, then you have to choose what? To be single all your life. If you want to be together, then you have to pray extra hard for extra patient. to endure that kind of friction. All because of in the initial stage, you make a decision far away from God's way, far away from the teaching of the Bible. So when the whole family moved to Moab, what is the consequence? Because they moved very far away from Bethlehem. So later on, they lose the blessing of God. So the husband passed away. And then the two children married the non-believer, Moab, the poor or Moab tribe. And then the two children also passed away. So in the whole family, there were three widows. The whole family, there were three widows. So this is a very pitiful situation. They try to escape the famine, but they end up in tragedy in their family, all because they don't have the blessing of God. So there was a sister complaining, saying, "Oh, my child looks average." Because the sister wants her child to be outstanding, excellent. So she keep on complaining, "Oh, my child are average." If your parents complain to others, say, "My child is only average," how do you feel? How do you feel? You have to say to your parents, you should be thankful your child is average, you're not below average. But the mother keep on complaining, "My child is on average. The school, you must KA, is average. When she plays the piano, is not excellent. It's on average. Well, the outlooking is average. Everything is average." And another member just answered her. He say, "I am the same. I am an average person. But what makes me different is God's blessing. I receive a lot of blessing of God. So it seems to me I live in heaven." So this kind of answer really edified this sister, this mother a lot. So don't think you are average. You cannot compare with others. Your capability is average. Your outlook is average. Your IQ is average. It's okay. As long as you have the blessing of God, your life will be like heaven. So in order to receive abundant blessing of God, you must walk on the path of King's way. If you depart from the path, King's path, you lose the blessing of God. Even you are outstanding, you will end up with losing the blessing of God. So what we learn now from this decision making is a tragedy. But if you look into this couple, of course the husband is not spiritually is not very strong, but the wife is not too good, because the wife allowed the husband to move. So if the wife and Naomi try to encourage the husband, maybe the husband will not make this move. And also you can see that the two sons are maybe a Gentile. The married Gentile. So you can see that the mother, Naomi, was not very spiritual. Let the two sons marry the Gentile. So a good mother, a loving mother, is not necessarily a good mother. A good mother is the one who should insist on God's way. A good mother doesn't mean, "I love you very much, so I want you to feel good. So no matter what kind of decision, I honor your decision. I pray to you that God can fulfill your decision." That is not a good mother. A good mother is, "Let me analyze for you whether this is God's will. Let us pray together, ask for God's guidance. Only when you walk on God's will, then I can release my burden. And my heart can be peaceful." And a good wife, a prudent wife, is not the one who always submissive to the husband. Even the husband made a decision against God's will, you still follow your husband. That's not the right way. A prudent wife means when your husband are going to make a decision against God's will, you must use the words of God, a lot of testimony to encourage your husband to make a right decision. So the husband is not spiritual and nor did the wife. So I hope that in the future, when the brother you get married, you should become a good head, and make a right decision. Head doesn't mean you enjoy the service from your wife. No. Head means to make a right decision, sacrifice a lot. And when you become a wife, you have to help your husband to make a right decision. When you become a parent, you have to help your children to make a right decision so that their life can be filled with the blessing of God. So this is the first decision made by the woman. And later on, they make another major decision to move back to Bethlehem. Why did they decide to move back to Bethlehem? Why? Look into the Bible, try to find the answer. Why did they make the decision to move back to Bethlehem? Why? Maybe. Okay. In verse what? Verse 6. Let's see verse 6. And giving them food. Verse 7. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughter-in-laws, and they went on to the way to return the land of Judah. Because they heard the good news. God sent blessing to God's people in Bethlehem. So the idea of God is to give us peace and blessing, is not to make us suffer. Yes, there are period of time you're going to suffer, but you are not going to suffer forever. So even though you come to the church, you hear a lot of testimony, God chastised me, right? And then I under the trial of God. But that will never suffer forever. So after the trial over, God's blessing is coming. Okay. So they decide to move back to the Bethlehem. And then when Naomi moved to Bethlehem, you compare the time they move out to Bethlehem and they move back to Bethlehem. What is the difference? Naomi, move out of Bethlehem, the time they move out to the Bethlehem and the time they move back to the Bethlehem, what is the time span? How many years difference? Look into the Bible, find the answer. The time between they move out and they move back, how many years? 10 years, 1 decade, 10 years. And what is the difference among the 10 years? What's the difference? Can you find the answer? Chapter 1, verse 21. The answer is chapter 1, verse 21. And they went away full. I went away full. And the Lord has brought me back empty. This is the answer. He went out. He was called Naomi. What does the Naomi mean? Sweet, right? And then when he came back, he asked other people to call him what? Mara, right? Because what? The Lord has dealt with me very bitterly. Mara means what? Bitterness, right? Does anyone here name Naomi? Do we have Naomi here? Nobody sweet here. Does anyone of here call Mara? Nobody's bitter here, right? So you are average. We hope you can have Naomi here. It's very sweet. But we hope nobody is in bitterness called Mira. Because we are under the grace of God. Okay. Now,
We look into the second decision, the decision made by his daughter-in-law. Actually, she has two daughter-in-law. She has two daughter-in-law. And the two daughter-in-laws make a different decision. And then you can see the difference of the decision. First, let me think about the rationale of their decision. Why did the two daughter-in-laws make the decision? Okay, now we look into chapter 1, Luke chapter 1. Verse 8. Chapter 1, verse 8. Chapter 1, verse 8. But Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, "Go return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me." Verse 9. "The Lord grant that you may find a home, each of you in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. Verse 10. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." Verse 11. But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet son in my womb that they may become your husband? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband." Okay. When you look into the dialogue between the mother-in-laws and the daughter-in-laws, from their conversation, how do you feel about Naomi? The way he treats his daughter-in-law, how do you feel about it? If Naomi become your mother-in-law, do you like it? You like it? You look into the words spoke by Naomi, you know she was very considerate, right? She lost three persons, one husband and two sons, right? So she must be the one who was very lonely and suffered a lot. But when you look into the words she spoke, you can understand that she put the well-being of the daughter-in-law in ahead of her own well-being. If she was a selfish person, she will try to every different kind of sweet word to dissuade, try to persuade the daughter-in-law, "Please follow me. Only follow me, then you have eternal life. If you don't follow me, you are going to lose eternal life. So for the sake of eternal life, please follow me so I have some companionship." Right? But Naomi was very considerate, reasonable. She knew that the daughter-in-law are still young. They need their own family. They need their own companionship. They need their own children. So she discouraged them from following her back to Bethlehem for the future of her daughter-in-law. So nowadays, the most difficult problem to solve is what? The in-laws. The mother-in-laws and the daughter-in-law. That is the most difficult way to solve it. The problem between mother and the daughter is easy to solve. Sometimes the mother scorned the daughter, right? And next morning, it's still mother and daughter, right? But if a mother-in-law scorned the daughter-in-law, the next morning, it will be different. Because they are not coming from the same flesh. So it's different. So if a person wants to have a very good relationship between the in-laws, I think both parties need education. We cannot only educate the young people. You have to learn from Ruth. You have to learn from the Ruth. We have to educate the mother-in-law. You have to learn from the Ruth too. Put the well-being of your daughter-in-law in ahead of you. So both parties are very considerate. Then they can walk together. So you can see chapter 1 verse 19. Chapter 1 verse 19. And then the two of them went out until they came to Bethlehem. And they came to Bethlehem. Went out, English translation went out. In Chinese translation say, both of them are walking together. That's a beautiful picture. A mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law walking together for a long journey back to Bethlehem. Have you ever seen a mother-in-law and walking, a daughter-in-law walking together for a long distance? Seldomly, seldomly. If you can see that, that is a very beautiful picture. So Naomi, is a very good mother-in-law. We have to learn from it. Now, the first time Naomi discouraged the two daughter-in-laws, they had the same response. We are going to follow you. They even cry. So in their heart, they're really reluctant to leave Naomi alone. But after the second time, Naomi discouraged them, encouraged them to leave. And then you can see the difference. The difference. Now, you look into Luke chapter 1. Verse 13. You look into the chapter 1, verse 13. Would I therefore wait until they grown up? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me. Verse 14. Then they lift up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So then she didn't make the decision making. One of the daughter-in-law, right, after kissed Naomi, she keep on thinking about, hey, my mother-in-law's suggestion is very reasonable, right? I am still young. She cannot marry again, and her child grown up and marry me. So it's reasonable for me to separate my mother-in-law and go ahead with my new life. So she thought it was reasonable, and she made a decision, and she separated from Naomi, and then go away from Naomi. But this person, after left Naomi, disappeared from the Bible forever. Why? Because once the person left Naomi and went back to Moab, they did not worship the only one God. They lose the salvation. They lose the eternal life. So even this kind of decision is reasonable. But when you think about the consequence, you cannot make that decision. Reasonable in a human term, reasonable. But spiritual consequences is terrible. However, you look into the decision of Ruth, verse 14. The decision of Ruth. But Ruth clung to her. Ruth insisted to stay on. So when Ruth made that decision, she already determined what? Even my mother-in-law cannot give me a husband. I am going to follow her my whole life. So she already determined to sacrifice for the sake of her mother-in-law. But when you look into the consequences of her decision, did her decision put her in disadvantage in the long run? No. No. So in the long run, her decision actually elevated her a lot spiritually. Give her a lot of blessing spiritually. But the first one, even it is reasonable, but after they make the decision, disappear from the Bible, lose her eternal life. So when we make a decision, we always have to think about what is the consequences is going to happen, it's going to follow us. This is very important. From verse 14, verse 13 and 14, let us think about one thing. For the true seeker. For the true seeker. Sometimes we want the true seeker to be baptized in the church. So we dare not to say something which we are supposed to say. What does that mean? When the true seeker come to the church, okay, and they want to be baptized, something very, very serious must be made very clear. For example,
after you been baptized in Chujie Church,
you must believe this is the only one true church in the world. Can you believe that?
So somebody, sometimes we are afraid that the true seeker may be offended. So we dare not to say, what is the difference between true Jesus Church and other church?
If they are really committed to the truth in true Jesus Church, regardless what you say, they will never leave. If they are not really committed, then even though they are baptized, after a period of time, they understand the stance of the truth of true Jesus Church, eventually they are going to leave. So somebody say, we can only preach the truth, we cannot preach the church. Did they come from the Bible? Of course not. We have to preach the truth, yes, but we have to preach the church too. And why the Apostolic Church, they did not preach the church? Because in the Apostolic Church, there is only one church. So there is no need for them to preach the church. But nowadays, there are more than one church. There are 1,000 of church. We must preach the church. This is the true church. Based on the teaching of the Bible, because church is the body of Christ. So we try to help other people to identify what is the true church. That is right. That is spiritual from the Bible perspective. That is right. For the other things, for the young people, they come to the church. We have to tell them clearly, if you want to baptize into true Jesus Church, no premarital sex, period. Don't feel you are going to offend them. If they feel offended, they want to be baptized, that's fine. If they are committed about this teaching of the Bible and they want to be baptized, then they can live a holy life. If they want to be baptized through Jesus, we have to clearly tell them, if you commit mortal sin, the church is going to excommunicate them. Nowadays, most of Christianity, 99% of it, don't mention about this. God's love, right? So when you commit sin, don't forget to come back and repent. This is a message of most of the churches. It's just like catching a cold is nothing, as long as you have some kind of pill. So commit sin is nothing, as long as you know how to repent. So repent is very powerful, can deal with all the different kind of sins. So spiritually, waiting for the judgment, the burning fire, according to the book of Hebrew. So when a person try to come to the true Jesus Church, they are touched by the truth, they are moved by the Holy Spirit, it's good. But we have to say something based on the Bible to tell them the facts. Just like Naomi, tell the two daughter-in-law, one of them choose to leave for their own future. The other of them choose to cling to Naomi and eventually receive the blessing of God. So for the true seeker, I have this feeling. This is a chapter.